an undignified praise. And how you're rewarded, someone was rewarded for an undignified praise. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. And I'm excited and I'm anticipating what God is going to do tonight. He's dropped some things in my spirit and I'm excited about it. It's all under the umbrella of him getting all the praise and all the glory for him being glorified. But tonight, there's salvation in the house. There's those who are going to give their lives to Christ. Rededicate a life to Christ. Tonight, there's healing in the house. There's healing in the house tonight. Tonight, there's deliverance in the house. There's deliverance in the house tonight. And there's exhortation, there's encouragement in the house tonight. I'm anticipating those four things that the Lord has dropped in my spirit that he's going to do tonight. So I want to encourage you to have your heart ready, have an expectation for the Lord to touch you, to move in your life, to change obstacles, to deliver you and set you free in Jesus' name. And we worship him in an undignified way. And we glorify him. See, because sometimes we come and we're all dressed up. You know what I'm saying? We got the suit on and, hey, Brother Harold, you know, I can't sweat out my tie or my suit. So I'm just going to sit down and praise him. I can't get undignified because, you know, I have a reputation. You know, and I'm wearing my high heels. Brother Harold, you know, I would praise the Lord. But you know, these heels, I might fall down, but let it go. 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 Praise him. He's worthy of it. But this dress, brother, in the suit, I just got out the cleaners. I want to get a few wears out of it before I have to get it cleaned again. You know. Let it go. Let it out. Give up a shout in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ooh, God is good. No, chicken is good. God is great. God is great. Don't catch me slipping. God is great. He is awesome. He's mighty. There's none like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're not completely out of pocket if you say God is good, because the Bible says that God is good. God is good. So I'm just saying. Chicken is okay. And peach cobbler is okay. Amen. Amen. And if anybody likes to make chicken and peach cobbler. Amen. Hey. We do have scripture from which to reference tonight. Amen. Because there's nothing like the word of God. There is nothing like the word of God. And so, I want us to turn to the New Testament in the book of Luke. You're in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Why don't we all stand to our feet as we're finding it? And I need to get there myself. Luke chapter 18. Amen. And when you get there, you can say amen. Amen. I got it. I found it. You can make a sound. You know, I agree with all of that. Amen. We're in Luke chapter 18. I am in the New King James tonight. And we're going to begin in verse 35. Luke 18, verse 35. And we will read through the end of the chapter. We'll start in verse 35 and we'll read through 43. Amen. Amen. I know everybody's there, or you're looking up on the board. Amen? Okay. I'm reading. Then it happened,
As he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat at the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the...
Okay, some churches will tell you, be quiet.
Sorry. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. And so I want to share with you tonight a message entitled, "Rewarded for an Undignified Request." Rewarded for an undignified request. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so very much for your word tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for this time, Father, together. We thank you for the things that you already said that you're going to do in the service, Lord God. We come with an expectation and anticipation of you fulfilling the things that you said. And Father, right now I pray that I would totally decrease, Lord God. Lord, you know there's nothing good within me to say, so Lord, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would take charge right now and that you would speak through me, Lord God, the oracles of God and not that of a man, that's what it truly is, Father. That you would anoint the ears of the hearer to receive what thus says the Lord tonight, Father. I thank you for your word going forth to accomplish the very thing for which you sent it, Lord Jesus, not returning to you void, vain, empty, or of none effect, Lord God. But we will hear it, we'll grab hold of it, Lord God, and I thank you for it landing in fertile hearts on fertile ground, Lord Jesus. And so we give you the praise and the glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Rewarded for an undignified praise. And we pray for a pastor who's not here tonight. So if you came anticipating Pastor Golden, please come back. He'll be here Sunday. He'll be here next week. But you have been appointed and assigned, and we together, this is the time that the Lord has appointed for us to be together to share this message. Rewarded for an undignified request, an undignified praise that was offered up. Our text is also found in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, and Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34, for those note takers. And so in the passage that we're going to primarily speak from tonight, it says that there's one blind man. In Mark, it says one man, and it names him Bartimaeus. And in Matthew, it says two blind men. So you have different authors with different perspectives of the same event. It doesn't mean that the Bible is incorrect. Amen? So if you and I were together somewhere and we witnessed something, one of us might focus more on the person with the blue shirt, someone else with the guy with the green shirt. You know what I'm saying? But it's the same thing. One of us might only say one, or the other person might say both. It's the same observation. The Bible is true. Amen? I just want you to have that settled in your hearts. So when you go and you look at it later on your own, And maybe I'll reference that. There's no inconsistency. So what was happening here in our text is that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, on the way to the Passover. And so what would happen at this time is that rabbis would be along the path, going along the way, and there'd be a crowd of like pilgrims going along with them. And the teacher, the rabbi, would take this opportunity to share his teachings, his knowledge. And so the crowd would follow along with him, and he would teach along the way. And the people who couldn't go would be the ones who would be sitting along the side and wishing them Godspeed and hearing what they can as they pass by because they couldn't afford to go or whatever reason they couldn't go to Jerusalem. So they were there to encourage the other ones and just get a little bit of what was happening. And in our passage, Verse 35, it happened that as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. So here he was. The King James said that he was on the wayside. And how many of us, probably all of us, I'd imagine, that at one point our lives, we were on the wayside too. We were on the wayside and things were just passing by. Life was just going by. And we're on the wayside begging from those around us. Can I get a quarter? Can I get a dollar? You know, I'm trying to catch BART. You know, I need to get this bus. I need something to eat. Can I get a sandwich? We're on the wayside. Suffering. Tore up from the floor up. On the drop kick to the curb. On the wayside. And the crowd is coming by. And we're begging. Can I get something? Can you help me? Unsaved folks are the ones who are on the wayside now. Blinded to the light and the love of Jesus Christ. Begging for things that think they will add up to something, but amount to something, but they don't. They're temporal. But can I get just a little something? Yo, brother, can you help me? You know, because I was... You know, we're in the struggle together. Can I get a little, a temporary fix just to help me keep going? Because I'm drop kicked to the curb. I'm on the wayside out of the way. People looking down at me. In verse 36, it says that, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So there the blind man or the blind men were sitting along the wayside and they hear a commotion. And so now it's getting louder. It's approaching them and they're hearing it. And they ask, hey, what does this mean? What's going on? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And upon hearing that, he took his focus off of begging from the horizontal, asking them what they could do for him. He focused on the vertical. He changed his mindset. Instead of asking the people what they can do for him, all of a sudden, there's a shift in his begging and in his pleading. Say, what? Jesus is coming by? I don't know where he had been before, but he had heard about this man, Jesus. So that he knew that, okay, I'm going to take my eyes off of you folks, but I'm going to look up here. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then the church folk were like, shh, be quiet. Hold your peace. Hold your peace, what they said in the King James. And there's a Living Testament that they just made it plain and said, shut up. They made it plain in our vernacular that we use today. Shut up. Be quiet. This is worse than you're out at the movies or at the theater and people are shushing you. Shh. We're trying to. Shh. They were shushing him. Saying, hey, hold your peace. We're trying to hear what Jesus is saying. Jesus of Nazareth is saying. But he cried out all the more. Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy on me. He was recognizing the messiahship of Jesus. They just referred to him as Jesus of Nazareth. But he referred to him, Jesus, Son of David. Have mercy. He recognized his messiahship. That God was the one who could truly fix him and could heal him. And so they tried to tell him to be quiet. But he cried out. And it says, all the more so he cried out. And it wasn't just one time. He kept on. He kept on. And they're like, wait. Shh. We're trying to hear. This is not how we do things here. This is not the way that our fathers, meaning our forefathers, do things. This is not how it happens. But he cried out in an undignified way. Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me. And when it says that he cried out, In verse 38,
that's a cry, it's more of a normal cry. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
But then when he cries out again in verse 39, he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me.
That was an animalistic, instinctive, shrieking kind of a sound. It was totally rude and undignified because of what was happening. But he just cried out. He let it out. He's like, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And this cry was so loud, it was like a shriek. Jesus! It got Jesus' attention. It got his attention. He recognized his messiahship, and it got his attention. When you call Jesus upon, call upon his name, and you realize and you recognize who he is, he responds to that. I can remember a time way, way back when I was probably 7th or 8th grade, and I was playing youth basketball. And so we were young guys, and our coach was a high school student himself. And he had got to practice, and he was ready to give out the basketballs. And people were calling him by his first name. Let's just say his name was Mark. I don't remember for sure. Mark, Mark, Mark. And he's looking around who to give the balls to. But then I said, Coach! It got his attention. Coach! I called him as by who he was, by his title. And it got his attention. Hey, Cephas, I got the ball because I called upon the name of which he was titled. And when you call upon Jesus as Lord and as Messiah, you get his attention. He responds to you recognizing who he is. Somebody better recognize. Somebody better recognize who he is. And understand that nothing is impossible with him. He's all powerful. He's almighty. Hallelujah. We got to give up an undignified praise. We got to praise him. There's just a couple of meetings that I've been to in the not so distant past where you have to decide to praise God, regardless as to what it sounds like or what it might even look like. Okay? Because it may not be your favorite music. Right? They may not be in the beat that you like. You might like the 2s and 4s, and they're on the 1s and 3s. Or who knows what they're on? Who knows what you're on? But you want to give up the praise to God. And I can remember years ago going to a church in Martinez. I was working in San Ramon. And on purpose, I would show up late. Because the praise and worship, I'm going to be honest, I didn't like it. I did not like it. It was not my style. And so, can I just go ahead and tell you the truth? Okay, so I would purposely leave work in San Ramon, stop by the brand new In-N-Out Burger that they had built, get me a double-double. Some days I'd get a double-double and a single, and have my burger on the way to Martinez. And I'd figured they ought to be finished with that country bluegrass music about now. And I'd get in, and this guy was a dynamic teacher of the word. Dynamic. Signs and wonders confirming the word. So this one night, I did my routine, and I get to the church, and everybody's outside. Somebody lost the key, misplaced the key, didn't have the key, whatever it was. I got there, and we all went in together. Right? It was late. It was late. But they were still going to do the praise and worship the way they do the praise and worship. Yeah, it was. And so I'm sitting in the next to the last row or something, and I'm sitting there listening, and they're praising God. And now I'm standing there because, you know, I didn't want to be rude, and so I'm standing there, and they're praising God. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, can we just get to the word? Can we just get to the word? And then God, he asked me, he talked to me. God, he talks to us. He talks to us. This is what God said. By my name, he said, Harold, Is this for you or is it for me? Woo. You want to talk about broke down?
I was like, Lord, it's for you. It's for you. It's not for me. And so I got with him. Hey, hallelujah, Jesus. I got with him. I got with him. And I praise God.
And so I do not care. I do not care. I do not care where I go, what the music sounds like, how they're singing, in key, out of key, whatever. I'm praising God. And I'm going to get undignified with it too. I don't care. He's great and greatly to be praised. Not about me, how I feel. It's about him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah is right. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. It's about him. It's not about us. There's a song about that. It's about Jesus. So here we are, blind Bartimaeus. And labels stick. Labels stick. Some of us have been named different things over our lifetime, you know? And so I mean, I had some cousins, and their name was Tiny, and all I can think of is maybe they were born tiny. Because by the time I got to know them, you know what I'm saying? Tiny, you know what I'm saying? What's Tiny about him? You know what I'm saying? But labels stick. Labels stick. But I want to tell you that God gives you a new name. Jesus changes your name. And you can get a new label. You can get a new reputation when you give your life to Christ and you follow him. Amen. And you know, in the old days, you might have been Wild Bill or you might have been Crazy Steve or whatever. But you'll get a new name. You'll get a new name. Amen. And so that cry again in verse 39, where he cried out, it was like a shriek. The Hebrews is called kradzo, K-R-A-D-Z-O. It looks a very lot like crazy. And it was a crazy shout that he let out when he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so it said that Jesus stood still. He stood still. Your undignified praise, your undignified calling upon his name will get his attention. And he'll stand still. Who was that? Who recognized me? Who was willing to give up their all in all to get my attention? Who didn't care about what their neighbor was thinking? That they just wanted to get my attention to offer up a praise unto me. Because I am great and greatly to be praised, says the Lord. And that you need to let it go and quit trying to impress your neighbor. Look to impress him. Because he's the one that can do something about your situation, about your life, and about everything that concerns you. He's the one that can do it. Because these folks here that you sit next to and you try to impress them, you're going to go your different ways after the meeting, after church, after whatever it is. And your situation is going to be unchanged. It's going to be the same. But Jesus can change any and everything. And so your undignified praise gets his attention where he stands still. And then it says that he commanded that he be brought to him in one of our texts. Commanded that he be brought to him. And they said, hey, it's your lucky day. Rejoice. He's calling for you. Because he was just unrestrained. Nothing was going to restrict him and hold him back. He wanted a face-to-face with the Messiah, Jesus. He wanted a face-to-face. He wasn't going to let the naysayers hinder him. He wasn't going to let the frozen chosen, we don't do it that way, this is not how it's ever been done, get in his way. Face to face is what he wanted. And so regardless of the crowd, he was still looking for an intimate moment with the Messiah, with the Savior. We can be in church meetings like this with the crowd. but still enter into a very, very intimate place with the Messiah, with Jesus. So take your eyes off of those around you and look unto him. He's the one who can fix it. You've already tried to get counsel from other people. Well, you know, I've been going through this and, you know, what would you do? Should I, you think I should or shouldn't I? Stop it. Jesus, help me, Lord. Make a way like only you can. Amen. He's got the wisdom, right? He has the knowledge. He knows the future, right? Because with our finite minds, we only see so far. But Jesus knows around the corner, around the way, down the years, what you have need of now. He knows the end from the beginning. So he knows wherever you are right now. He knows how it's going to be down the road. Trust him. Cry out to him. Believe in him. Be undignified. Let it go. And watch him move on your behalf in a mighty way. In a mighty way. And so they brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus asked him, verse 41, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Now, it seems like a no-brainer, right? Like what he might say the answer is. However, just a few minutes ago, he was on the wayside, on the curbside, asking for money and asking for, you know, donations. Can I get a jacket? You know, it's cold out here. Can I get something? And so now he approaches Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He might have said, you know what? Can you tell me to go fishing and I get a gold nugget out of the fish's mouth? Can you provide enough so I don't have to beg on these streets for 2 years or for the rest of my life? Can I get some money? See, a lot of people come to Jesus and, oh, I know he's going to pay this and he's going to get my car and he's going to pay my house and he's going to do all this, looking for the things. And Jesus was just checking. What do you want me to do for you? So remember, he was asking the folks, you know, begging. But he changed his focus and his attention. And so he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, that I might receive my sight. That I might receive my sight. And the Lord said, he said that I might receive my sight. Verse 42. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. One translation says, well, start seeing. Just start seeing. You ask, here I am. Just start seeing. He gives you the petitions and the requests of your heart. You got to let it go. You got to get an undignified praise out there. Okay? Sometimes just sitting down is not enough. Praising God, it's an action word. It's a verb, right? It entails movement, action, speech. Sometimes it's just a kneel down. Sometimes it's a shabak, hallelujah. It's a halal. See, we don't have enough, I guess, words or enough to distinguish enough between the bless and the praise. We see it as one way, but if you look in the Hebrew, there's different ways. It means different things. And so I'm encouraging somebody to just let it go tonight, right? Let your praise go. Let it go. Let your worship go. Be undignified. Act as if you have no reputation.
You really don't anyway.
Can I just tell you? You don't. Don't be trying to fool each other thinking you got it all together and that you're all that in a bag of chips with a dip. Because you're not. Let's have a reputation to him. A reputation that I will be undignified, that I will praise you no matter what, no matter who's around, who's looking, that I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it out. I'm going to praise you, Lord, because you are great and greatly to be praised. And then we need to start coming up to these meetings with a mindset to let it go, to praise God. Because I know there's a couple of people in here Back in the day, when you used to go out to the club, don't raise your hand. Let my hand be the only hand up. Going to your spot. Going to your spot. That you're getting ready, and the music's already in the background. You're already getting ready. Oh, yeah, groove. Whatever the words are, you're getting ready. You're getting a mindset ready to go. I'm saying when you get ready to come to the house of God, have your praise and worship music already going. Let it already be changing the atmosphere of what you're inhabiting right now. So that you come, you don't wait for these guys. Because you brought it with you. You brought the praise with you. You brought the praise party with you. It's in you, and you're going to let it out. Let it go. Let it out and let out a shout unto the Lord. Come on, let that be your reputation. That you'll praise God no matter where you go. You'll praise Him at all times. Every day you will praise the Lord. Every day. Well, I would have praised Him if He would have just let me win that Super Lotto thing. Oh! No, Powerball. Just praise Him anyway, regardless of your situation and circumstance. If He didn't do another thing, He's still worthy to be praised. He's great and greatly to be praised. Let it go. Be undignified. Run around, jump, shout, twirl about. Put your left foot in and out. No, come on. Oh, left. Praise Him. Okay, that's all right. All right. Then, yeah, I don't care about it. It's all done. It's done. Forget it.
And it says in verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God.
So immediately he received his sight and he started praising God, glorifying God. Can you imagine what kind of glorifying and the praise of God that he was doing at that time? He just received his sight. He was letting it go, I'm telling you. And then it was so powerful and so impacting that the other folks who were the naysayers just a few minutes ago, they join in the praise. They join in. Everybody was praising God. The atmosphere was changed. So it's a good thing he didn't listen to them before, right? When they're saying, shh, be quiet. Hold your peace. Shut up. He might still be on that curb. On the wayside, instead of on the narrow path following Christ. See, sometimes somebody's going to say, oh, that brother, that sister, she's just a little too exuberant. It don't take all that. All that ain't necessary. Get somewhere and sit down. Come on. Really? Come on. You're just trying to show out. Come on. No. You don't know, somebody said it, or you don't know what he's brought me through. You don't know where I've been. I'm going to be undignified and praise him. Because if it were not from him, I would be dead somewhere. Hallelujah. You don't know what he's done for me. Hallelujah. You don't know. So I'm not going to concern myself with you. I'm going to concern myself with him. Hallelujah. See, I praise God that I'm able to raise my hands and to praise him, that I'm able to do a jump and a shout and twirl about and praise his name. Hallelujah. Because you don't know. You don't know that one who's been delivered from prostitution, from drug abuse, being locked up. You don't know. He's worthy to be praised. He's great and greatly to be praised. You didn't know that I had an incurable disease that was supposed to cause me to lose the use of my limbs. You don't know that. You don't know that. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You didn't know that. But that's what he did. That's what he did. Praise God. Man, you don't know what someone's been through, what they've been delivered from. One brother shared with me that people were shooting at him point blank or real close, and the bullets weren't, the gun wasn't firing. You praise God for that. You thank God for that. You can be undignified in your worship unto him. Hallelujah. Look, thank you, Lord. Look, God is so good. We need to just let it go. Let it go. See, and so a lot of times, and I'm not the model or what have you, but most of the time during praise and worship, I close my eyes because it's a way for me to block out others. And I don't see who's looking at me because I'm going to be sometimes foolish, undignified, and I don't care because I'm looking here. So maybe try it. If you're one of the ones who are, you know, the music's gone and you're just seeing who's doing what, close your eyes. You're taking your focus off Christ, the one who can change the situation. Looking around at folks. Come on, just stop. Man, I guess that clock is right. But look, the ones who tell you that it doesn't take all that and that you're doing too much, I don't recall seeing any place in the Word that God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit told anybody to tone it down. Hey, amen. Sister, you're being just a little bit exuberant. You're a little too emotional. Can you tone it down? I don't recall seeing that. Hey, man, let's join those folks. And so here's what I see. Here's what I see in the Bible is that God usually sides with the ones who are giving it all up. Right? And for time's sake, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, where David... Right, they're bringing the ark, and David was dancing crazy, undignified, and his wife's checking it out from the window. Look at him. Why is he doing all that in front of the maidens? And she couldn't wait for him to get home. She couldn't wait for him to get inside the house. Instead of that, she went out to meet him. Oh, how glorious was our king today in the presence of his handmaidens, dancing foolishly. David was saying, but look, it was for the Lord. He said, you know what? He said, I'll even be more undignified than that. I'll be even more vile than that. I'll be even more base than that. I'll go lower than that in praising my God. And Micah, as a matter of fact, she ended up having no kids for her whole life. It's almost as if God was saying, look, you're ashamed of my boy for praising me, letting it all go, because you're so concerned about the people. I'm going to cause you to be barren, which was a shameful thing back in that time for her to have no children. I'm going to cause you to be ashamed in front of everybody. No kids for you. So don't be judging the folks that decide they need to run through the aisles or the pews, fall out on the floor, roll over. Don't. Let's not criticize them. Let's join them. Amen. Let's get with them. Let's get with them. And then also, can we praise God more than our favorite team? Zing! Whether it's a Giants World Series celebration, people going out there in the rain. Oh, but it's the Giants. They want every odd year or whatever it is. We're going out to the city. They got the lights all orange and whatever. Can we praise Jesus more than our favorite team? Amen. Because they never did anything for you. They really haven't.
They really haven't. And in another instance in which the Lord sided with the worshiper is in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. The woman with the alabaster box with the flask, remember, she poured out the fragrant oil, a spikenard. In the religious folk were, why did she do all that? You know what we could have done with that? We could have done this and that. You know, Jesus was like, stop it. She's doing a good thing. Everywhere this gospel was preached, we're going to remember her for what she did. For what she did, because she was anointing him already. So here we go, the church folk. Come on, can't we just stop it? Can you slow down a little bit? Do you really need the drums and the tambourine? I don't know where those churches that don't have instruments, I don't know where they get that. I don't know where they get that. Because I'm reading the word where it says to praise him with the dance, with the timbrel, the high-sounding cymbals, the brass on the organs, all of that. Just on your homework assignment, read the last five Psalms, right? 145, maybe a 6. I don't know my math. 145, 46, 47, 48, 49, and 50. So 6. Read those. You praise them and get loose. Anyway, we want to offer up an undignified praise to the Lord. And then, cousin, in Luke 18:42, it says that your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. It saved you. And so tonight, we just want to make an undignified request to the Lord and give him a God-glorifying, undignified praise and just to acknowledge his name. And so we're going to get ready to go. So what? What do we do? We praise him. That's right. So if there's anybody in the house that wants to just lift up an undignified praise to the Lord, I'm inviting you to do so right now, just to stand to your feet and just thank God for who he is. Let it go. You don't have a reputation.